good stuff. We've been talking really all year about these four A's, and we're going to move a little bit into the last one there, assignment. I'm excited. This has been a tough, tough year for everybody. It's so funny. Everybody said 2020, the year of great clarity and vision. I have gotten great clarity, but it's some things that I've gotten clarity on some things I'm not sure I wanted to get clarity on. Can y'all see? Lord opened up my eyes to some things that needed to be aligned. He also opened up to me some ways He wanted me to walk closer with Him in spirit, soul, and body. And so He's given me clarity, but He's been giving me clarity and getting me aligned more in my spirit, soul, and body. And we've talked a lot about it on and off this year, because He's wanting to use us to change the world like Josh was talking about. We had those first three words. We've been talking about it on and off this year. He's been aligning us. How many of you have had more warfare this year than you have ever had before? Especially in the last 4 to 5 months. I think a lot of the warfare is not like necessarily brought by the Lord, but He's using it in us to strengthen us, to give us clarity, to give us victory. Because what you defeat and what you overcome, it then gives you authority to help other people get overcome that. I mean, I used to hate it when I still got kids, but the youngest is 18, so they're mostly grown now. But I used to hate it when my kids were little and people would give me advice and they've never had kids before. Now, I'm not saying it's not good advice, but if somebody gives me advice and their kids are teenagers or young adults and they've all doing pretty well, guess which one I'm going to listen to the most? Because they have authority and they have a track record. And a lot of this warfare, it's to show us stuff, to teach us stuff, but it's even a bigger picture than that. There is a major clash of light versus dark, of God's righteousness versus man's way of living. And there's just, it's that the kingdoms are coming together and clashing like I have never seen before. It used to be we could sort of cohabitate together. But God is allowing darkness and unrighteousness to come in on Christians and the church like never before. And frankly, I don't like it. But it is waking me up out of my comfort and my convenience and why am I having to deal with this. And it's always been there. But He's doing it to awaken. That's another A. He's doing it to awaken His church, because you are, and what's inside of you in the Word of God is the hope for the world around you. And more the world is just, all actions have consequences. And we're starting to suffer some of the consequences in America of following actions that were not godly. And it's starting to affect so much of the life. And He is raising you up in your own little area, your own little world, my own little world. And as we align with God and we start following God, those actions have consequences that are good. It brings light and life into your world. You can never not follow the Word of God, follow the Holy Spirit, and it not change your life for the better. There may be war for a time, but it's a war between competing viewpoints and competing kingdoms. And as you live more and more in the light, people around you are going to start seeing it, and they're starting to hunger for it. I think the last 20 to 30 years, nobody hungered after the things of God in America. They wanted to do their own thing because it looked like the promised land. But now there's so many problems on all different levels. Physical problems, relationship problems, financial problems. People are starting to get to the end of themselves and they're going, my way is not turning out the way I thought it would turn out. And they're looking around and they're going to see you that have paid the price to align yourself with God, to follow your actions do the actions of God. And he start, it's, what's going to happen is you're going to start finding yourself in a place. See, the ark, that's one of the words. The ark, there's actually two arks in the Old Testament. The Ark of the Covenant, which represented mercy in the presence of God. And then there was the ark, Noah's ark, which was a place of safety and resources. It carried the future of the world inside that ark of all the animals and the food and the seeds. And you, he is preparing you to be a place of resources for the world, your little world around you. And you go, man, my whole life is messed up. Well, it may be messed up, but as you keep aligning with God, those areas are going to get right. And in many ways, and in those that aren't aligned, they're going to see it. And they go, I need some of your seed. I need some of your resources. And you'll be able to share with them. In September, when Rosh Hashanah, which was the Jewish New Year, came in, the Lord gave me a fourth A for 2021. He said, I am going to start releasing my people into assignments. See, Noah had an assignment. Aren't you glad you didn't have an assignment like that? For 120 years, he built a boat, and not even knowing quite why he had a boat, on dry land, a long way from the ocean. And they had never seen rain before that. When the rain came down, that was the first time they had had rain. Water always came up from the earth before. Man, that was a tough assignment. Now, some of you are going to have tough assignments, but I don't, at least for me, I don't think my assignment's going to last 120 years. But he's going to give us assignments activated by the voice of the Holy Spirit. He heard God say, God said, go and build this boat. And so, because he's getting us ready, each of us have a sphere of influence that nobody else has. And so as these assignments start coming in, I want to encourage you. Because this has been a tough year of alignment, warfare, but it's not without purpose. Nothing you go through is ever wasted. No pain is ever wasted. No tough times are ever wasted. If you've been through a lot of warfare, which I know I've been through probably more warfare in the last few months than is way normal. If you've been through a lot of warfare, it's to give you authority over something, like the parenting. If you've raised kids and you've been successful at it, that gives you authority. If there are some things you can't, it's hard to transmit to others until you've been through it. And whatever you've been going through, whatever warfare, whatever challenges, financially, relationally, whatever it may be, employers, as you press into God and say, Father, I want to respond to this as you tell me to respond. I want to apply your verses of promises over this as you tell me to apply. And as you just put one foot before the other and do what you're supposed to do, it, as I said two or three weeks ago, last 3 weeks we've been talking about character. It has a compound interest effect. And each of those steps end up coming a mile, end up becoming several miles. And all of a sudden, you know how to go through something because you went through something, and it gives you authority over that. And you can help other people, and it keeps you from being intimidated by it. There's so many things that we're intimidated by often. Fear, anxiety, regret. As we take each of those and say, Father, I want to be aligned by you. I want you to be my Lord. I want to respond to your voice, not fear. Not anxiety, not regret. See, most of the time we push those under the rug. And a phenomenon I've been seeing all year long is those that have pushed these things under the rug, relationship problems, anxiety, fear. Hopefully this is connecting with you, anger. And you say, well, yeah, I need to deal with that. Then you push it under the rug, put on a mask, and keep going on. This year, I don't know why, God has chosen. These things are not going to be able to be pushed under the rug anymore. They're coming to the surface, and they're bubbling up, and they're being exposed at the wrong time and dominating us by at the wrong time. Whatever sin or habit pattern that's not right that you have not dealt with, it's starting to dominate you. Have you seen that in people? It's like, why is it coming out now? I don't know. But God is saying, let's deal with this. I want us cleaned up and aligned so that we can do, like Josh said, and affect the world around us. So that whatever, so when we're ministering to somebody, that fear that's in us doesn't rub off on them. That anxiety or whatever we're doing, or anger or depression is rubbing off. So I'm here to tell you, it is worth it. Because I know most of you in here, it has been a tough year. You've paid the price. You said, yes, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to say it's worth it. I'm just going to pray for the next 20 seconds, 25 seconds. Whatever you've been fighting for or warfare in or believing for, we're just going to start. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that it is not in vain. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Victory is here. Victory is not coming, but victory is here. Matter of fact, victory has been coming all year long or all day. And so, Father, we just thank you. And I just speak strength to everybody in this building. I speak hope to everybody in this building. And I say in Jesus' name, it has not been in vain. And we plant all these seeds of warfare. We plant all these seeds of crying. We plant all these seeds of character building. And I thank you that you are raising up an army, even though we don't feel like an army. As Sean earlier called us soldiers, we may not feel like soldiers, but you're raising us up as soldiers because you believe in us that much and you have that much hope. And it's not just, and you're going to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Out here, there's a banner on the left side as you walk out. It talks about the mission statement. Let's move a little bit into assignment. I'm going to talk about it starting today in the next few weeks. You're going to find the Lord more and more and more than we have ever had before speaking to you about influencing your world. It may be as simple as speaking to somebody you that's a friend that you sort of know and you've seen challenges in their life. And all of a sudden the Lord says, encourage them with this. Or have you ever thought about this? Or a change in you're going to get words. Why are my finances still never here? Or it's always a struggle. And he's going to give you words. Well, have you thought about doing something different? It's a whole new insight. A whole new way to make money or a part-time job or go here or go there. He's going to be giving you assignments more than you ever have before. Now, he's done this ever since you were a Christian. But there is an emphasis now that when he's speaking to you about something, there's a special authority on it and a special anointing on it than is more than it's ever been because of us doing the hard work. And us staying aligned with him. And things, you're going to start seeing things break that you've been praying for years. How come? Why is it starting to happen now? It's just the timing of the Lord. It's a Kairos moment. Why is he speaking this to me now? Because it's just a Kairos moment, which is the Greek word for he's wanting to do this now. And there's always warfare, so I'm not going to say there's not warfare, because there's always warfare until Jesus Christ comes back and every enemy is under his foot. But I'm just telling you, this next year in 2021, which is starting now, we're in the Jewish 5781. I'm just going to throw it out. I think you're going to see more fruit than you've ever seen before. And you're going to see some things you've been praying for years finally start breaking through. Because the Lord realizes there needs to be light in this darkness, and the time is now. And it's not just for everybody, it's for those that have been paying the price to hear His voice and to walk with Him. And it's going to be fun. Even if it's in warfare, it's going to be fun. Because Christianity is adventurous, it's never boring. And the key is to keep reading the Word of God, learning His principles, and walking in His presence and hearing His voice. But this banner, as I started to talk about, it talks about we're raising up a spiritual delta force. Well, why did we pick that word? Usually you see an army, spiritual army, and we are. That's a biblical, we're soldiers, the army of Christ. Many years ago, the Lord said that this group of people is more like a delta force. The delta force, if you've never heard about it, is one of the special forces in the military. You've got the Green Berets, you've got the SEALs, you've got the Rangers, and you've got the Delta Force. The Delta Force and the SEALs are considered the most trained, the most stringent, the hardest. And there's some unique things when the Lord said, you guys are like a spiritual Delta Force. I'm going to just throw it out and talk a few minutes about it because it's really, I think, part of the calling on you guys' life and us life. Is the Delta Force is the most diverse of the special forces. The SEALs pull from the Navy, the Green Berets pull from the Army, the Delta pulls from all branches. And they have very, very specialized missions. And each of you is going to have very specialized missions. They do hostage rescue. What did Jesus say in Luke 4:18? As his mission statement, I have come to set the captives free. They're counterterrorism. The Lord's going to use you to send you into places where people are just, they're terrorized by anxiety or depression or a bad relationship. They're used for high value targets only. The Lord has special callings on you guys. On each of us. One of the things about the Delta Force. Depends on their mission. It changes on their mission. But one of their things about their missions. Is often depending on the kind of mission. If it's undercover. They don't wear uniforms. They don't call each other by their rank or title. Like the standard army does. They just know each other. Because they've trained with each other. And when it's time to pass on a duty to somebody else or part of a duty to pass on to somebody else and they watch because the other person's better trained, then they just know to do that. And there are going to be times where the Lord's going to give you assignments for you and your husband, or for you and somebody else, and you have to go in as a team because it's going to take a team to do it because the other person may be better in one area than you, but you're better than they are in that area. And one of the things he's doing in the church today is getting rid of the Lone Ranger mentality. He needs us in our little squads. So much of church historically in America has come to a building, enjoy worship, enjoy a message, and that's good. There's value in that. But then we leave and we never get to know somebody else. And it's important to get to know other people because part of your destiny on your assignments is related to being a part of a team. There are just some things that are just never going to get done by you alone. Plus, it's fun working with other people. Now, I know sometimes other people can get a little ornery and get a little iron sharpens iron, but it's good for us. It's good for them. And there are things... Nothing of great value is accomplished outside of a team. You cannot do it by yourself, although there are individual assignments. And so, as we move forward into 2021 and as we go through here, I just want to give you some pointers. Is more than ever, it's important to get close to Holy Spirit and be sensitive to His voice. And I want to talk about that. I don't know about you, but my tendency when God gives me an assignment or any assignment, oh, I know how to do that, and I go running after it. And I just do it as fast as I can, at whatever speed I can, whatever way I want. God's given me this assignment, so I just assume It's all, he's given me everything that he wants to give me about doing it. Are y'all, any of you that way? He loves our exuberation, but these assignments he's given to you, he's always going to leave a piece out so that he can be a part of it. He wants to be the senior partner and us a junior partner and our partners in this thing together. And a lot of times he gives me assignments to, as a pastor, to talk to people, to maybe give insight on how to help their lives be better. And, oh yeah, I know how to do this. But I'm reminded of Ephesians 6:12. It says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Whenever you get assignment, don't automatically assume you know how to do it. He's going to use your training because it's there. But say, Father, okay, this is what I see going on. This is how I think I need to approach this thing. What do you think? And many times he'll come back and give you an insight on the situation that you never thought about before. Well, I never saw it that way before. So what we have to do is slow down and not do everything in just our soul and our flesh and our training. He'll use that, but go, Father, you know, if you've got a kid, or let's just take a child that's rebellious, you know your kid well. You usually know what's going on, and you usually know what to do. And many times you want to take them up by the neck and beat them, not literally, but, you know, just give them a talking to. How many times has that worked out for us? Usually never works out. It usually makes the kid more rebellious or more inward. It's to say, Holy Spirit, what is the root reason why they're behaving this way? So many times we want to fix the outside, fix their actions. And that's notable, but really your actions come from beliefs on the inside. Your actions reflect what your thoughts are. And so, Father, has something happened with my child? What's going on? Why are they behaving this way? And give me an opportunity to know what's going on. He may tell you, or he may give you an opportunity to ask, where you seriously ask instead of asking to get them to behave and go, what's going on? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why is this happening? And then pausing. It's almost always better on assignments to do lots of pauses. Are y'all hearing me? Carry something out and say, Father, did that work? Is this working? And you may just do this inside your head, inside your spirit, and to pause for 3 seconds. And say, give space. I call them prophetic pauses. Give space, whatever problem you're in, for the Holy Spirit to speak to you and change on the fly. Many times I'll go in with a plan that's probably from the Lord, but then it changes halfway through, and you go, why didn't you tell me ahead of time? And he just sort of smiles or laughs or giggles. I don't think he giggles, but maybe chuckles. Is this making sense to anybody? But it's slowing down enough to follow by the Spirit and not just the flesh. I mean, we are flesh and we got to walk out in the flesh, but let your flesh be guided by the Spirit. Acts 17:28. I love it out of the Passion. It says this: it is through him that we live and function and have our identity. Talking about Jesus Christ. It is through him, Acts 17:28, that we live and function and have our identity in him. Let me just give some minor points. So what I'm talking about here, to be good on assignments, we need a plan, we need a purpose, and he's going to give that to us. But one of the best ways is to increase your sensitivity to Holy Spirit. These pauses, slowing down. But what I do is every morning, I just challenge you, every morning, just ask. Every morning go, Holy Spirit, I want to be more sensitive to you. If I'm going off, even if my intentions are good, help me to be sensitive to any checks you give me. Most of the time, I just fly through these checks. But I want to slow down enough so that when he gives me this still small voice or a check, most of the time it's just a check. It's almost a lack of peace. I know this is basic. But don't ignore the lack of peace. You start doing something, you go, something doesn't quite feel right. Just pause and go, Holy Spirit, what's happening? If you don't hear anything, then just do what the best you know how. But open it up and just be willing to do that. So ask. Often people go, well, if he's big enough God, he can speak to me. He can, but he doesn't work that way. We have to ask regularly. So I do that every morning. I say, Holy Spirit, let me be sensitive to your voice. Help me not to run ahead of you. And help me pay attention to anything that you're saying. And just pause. Now, in our society, pausing is hard. It is hard. Very few people can just sit for 5 minutes without the TV on. Without the radio, almost every household I go into, I don't do this in our house. I make us turn it off. I mean, my wife would do it anyway. But how many houses you go to, the TV is always on in the background, even though nobody's not watching it. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to run your home, but let me give you a hint. If you do that, it's not sin. If you turn it off, you're going to get the DTs, detox. You're going to start shaking. Your mind's going to go nuts. In the end, you'll have more peace in your home. Because there's not always a voice in the background. Hear what I'm saying. Don't get mad. You want to create spaces where the voice on the inside of you can talk. And he does not compete. If we always have voices on in the house, always have voices on in the car, he will not compete. It is truly, as it says, listen for a still small voice. Why is he that way? Can he shout? He can shout. He can show up, but he wants an intimate relationship between you like a bride and a bridegroom. In a marriage relationship, when it gets old and stale and they don't talk to each other, well, I'm here, they can come talk to me. No, you have to pursue. You have to make opportunities. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The biggest challenge for Americans is to create spaces in your car, in your household, where there's quietness, where he can speak. I know people don't like hearing that, but it's just a fact. Well, if God's there, he can talk to me. He can, but he doesn't. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I've had it several times where it sounded like the audible voice of God. And he can do whatever he wants to. But you realize just biblically that is not the pattern in the Old Testament. I mean in the New Testament. In the Old Testament he would speak audibly and through angels. Why? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet. And they didn't know how, they didn't have the teacher on the inside of him. So if you're waiting for an angel or if you're waiting for him to speak audibly with a flaming bush like he did to Moses, it's probably too late. It's not too late. But it's because we've ignored the still small voices so many times, he's finally going to go, you're going to die unless I finally break in. And then it's like going to the ER and doing triage and damage control. Am I exaggerating? He can do whatever he wants to. I know angels show up, and up, but I'm talking about his general principles. God can do whatever he wants to. But generally, he speaks through that still small voice, speaks through worship when we're quiet. He speaks different ways. But put yourself in a place. And so just ask. And then this is a second thing that will increase. We've talked about quiet. That's another word. Sit. That's another word. Increase the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Just try this. I know y'all are good at this. Most Americans cannot sit for 5 minutes without something going on around them. Am I speaking? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all agree? And so, well, yeah. You'd have to get rid of this. You got young children, so that's even a challenge. And if this is new to you, put a pad of paper and a pencil beside you because the thoughts are going to come out. And just start writing them down. Your to-do list, I got to do this, I got to do that. See, you should have been doing this all along. So you write down all this stuff. Just write it down. It's called detoxing your brain, clearing it out, getting it out of the inbox. Write all that down. And then when you don't have anything else to write, then sit for 5 minutes. Because see, you hadn't been sitting for 5 minutes. That's just allowing your brain to get clear. It's in the creativity. The creativity comes when there's nothing outward, when your brain's not churning on something. And so sit for 5 more minutes. And then just don't ask the Lord. Don't get come to the Lord with a list. Just sit and say, Lord, I'm here if you want to speak. And maybe once a minute just say, Father, I love you. Don't ask for something. Just sit in the quiet. And this is stuff we talk about a lot. And another word is expect. If you do this on a regular basis, you will more peace will come into your life than you've ever had. I guarantee it. It's amazing how much the background noise of life affects your soul and affects your spirit. It's like, have you ever seen these white noise machines? You know, they're sort of good to put you to sleep. But you don't want this white noise machine on your ear going on all the time. And that's sort of like what a lot of the background noise does. But it's in these quiet moments that you're energized, the Lord can speak to you better, and it increases the power sensitivity. You go, well, I did that, and I didn't hear anything from the Lord. That's cool. Cleared out your brain. Do it again. Do it every day. Then it'll start setting up a pattern of expectation. I'm here, Lord, if you want to speak to me. Sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. But what happens if you speak in tongues, and maybe speak in tongues some, not all the time, it slows your soul down to start being sensitive to your spirit. We're so used to our soul, which is our mind and our emotions ruling, we don't recognize the promptings of the spirit. Is this too harsh? I mean, not hard. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's really that simple. What it does is starts clearing your soul of stuff to learn how to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, this week, started telling me again. He just reminded me, he says, Craig, you're filling your life up with noise again. We all love doing that. And it's not a sin, but I start to miss opportunities of just fellowship and walking with him. One last thing, and then we'll close, is another thing about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is we talked about asking, just do it. And you don't have to beg, just ask, Lord. Being quiet, sitting, expecting. And the last thing is just tell them regularly, Lord, Holy Spirit, I want to make you Lord. You know, most Christians are saved, obviously, or they wouldn't be Christians. But the Father is not Lord of their life. How can you tell? Well, the rules of the Bible, following the Lord, are fairly optional. I'll get to it when I get to it. And you can tell by their life. Do this with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's the one inside of you. We often say, make Jesus Lord, and we do. But also make him Lord. Say, whatever you say to me, to the best of my ability, I'm going to obey as quick as possible. And I'm going to pay attention. It's not optional. When you do this, we often say, man, that's a great man of God or a great woman of God. I wish I could be that way. You can. You do not become great men and women of God, great heroes of faith, like they talk about in Hebrews 11, by making 1, 2, 3, 4 decisions rightly. It's by obeying the Holy Spirit in the thousands of things he tells you over your lifetime. And then all of a sudden, I know God. I know his voice. And I'm a follower of him. To do great things of God, he always gives you very tiny, small things first. He always does. He never gives you big things, because there's too much at stake. He says, I want to see if they obey me on this one and partner with me on it. And then as you do that one thing, then he'll give you the second thing. Then he'll give you the third thing and the fourth thing. But he doesn't give you but I want the fourth thing because that's cool. He doesn't do that. He gives you the first thing. So Whatever he's asked you to do, however small it seems, obey. Obey the best way you know how. Ask him, say, am I doing it the way you want me to do? Am I following you? And then that opens up doors for other things. So many people have come to me, I can't tell you, on counseling, how many times, or in conversations, and they're sharing their life to me. It's messed up. I don't know what to do. Almost every single time. Sometimes they need direction. But I'd say, I don't know, high percentage of the time, I'll just say, let's stop and pause, because you know, we're always anxious. And I say, have you asked the Lord what to do? Almost always they've said no. I said, why are you here then? His voice is much better than my voice. And he knows the root of this thing. So let's ask him. Then there's another huge high percentage of people that's come and said, I've asked him. And he's not answering. And I'll just say, let's pause. And I say, okay, there is wisdom in counselors. I'm not giving that up. But are you sure he's never said anything? Well, he did tell me this little thing, but it seemed inconsequential and I ignored it. That happens a lot. They don't use those same words. They don't use inconsequential. They don't say ignored it, but it's that philosophy. And I say, that's your answer. Well, why is that my answer? That doesn't seem much of a deal. Well, because you asked him and he said it. So it must be the key. Or at least the first part of the key. And one of the biggest things I've seen of people getting their life right is learning how to hear the voice of God. And that's why we'll be starting it up again in January, the series of the growth journey. But that's why the first lessons is on hearing the voice of God. Because that is such the key. Amen? Let's pray. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that everyone here, we are part of a Delta force to change something around us. That's another reason I picked Delta. Let me just throw this in. Delta means like where a river comes into an ocean and has several meanings. That's the Delta. Of course, you got the Delta Airlines. But you realize in mathematics, the Greek letter Delta is used in higher mathematics, and it means change. There's something changing. And so, Father, I thank you that everyone here is a member of your Delta Force to change something around us. The change is going to happen in us first and then move outwards. But I thank you, and I thank you that they're making a difference already, even if they don't realize it, that you're raising us up and training us. And I thank you for the great adventures and assignments that's happening in this next year. And it's happening now. It's happening this week. It's already started because we're in that Jewish New Year. And Father, I thank you. And I thank you that you're making us sensitive to your voice. And we're becoming partners with you in intimacy and joy of doing this thing together. And it's a delight and not a duty. And I just bless them with the Father's blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.